Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Lots of Rooster these days. I think this is day number 12 on the radio in a row, in some form or fashion. So if you hate me, sorry, that sucks. If you like me, then I guess it's an extra bonus. Don't worry, I'm not here tomorrow night. So I think it's Crash in the Net, or I believe Crash in the Net and Chris Miles, I believe. But I could be wrong on that. Yes, am I right? Chris Miles and Crashing the Net? Is that right, Sean? I can't hear you. Amazingly, I can't hear anything through this well-constructed studio. We'll figure it out. I'll have the exact accurate information for you when I can communicate better with Sean. All right, anyway, Earl Forsey will be in studio with us throughout the evening, so it will be great to have him aboard. Of course, we'll talk plenty of Redskins. We'll talk plenty of Nationals. We might even get into some other stuff. You may have heard the story about the Arizona Cardinal player that nobody knew of and knew about getting popped for gambling on his football team as part of a three-team parlay. Yuck, 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 yuck. Georgetown losing a couple of players. Not good. And as well, we will get into the Capitals as we get closer to their game against the San Jose Sharks tonight after back-to-back wins over the Tampa Bay Lightning on Friday afternoon here and then on the road Saturday in Detroit. Obviously, the schedule gets a little tougher. We will have our Steamfitters UA Local 602 pregame show coming up for you at 10 o'clock tonight. My friend and pal, Doug Russell, same last name, no relation, for obvious reasons, will join us from ESPN Milwaukee and the WTMJ Packers Radio Network because, as you know by now, the surging, the resurgent, Bruce Allen-led Washington Redskins, the team that will never say die, nobody. I mean, I guess we could do this, right, now that Chris Berman is back on NFL primetime with Tom Jackson. Yeah, online, right? Nobody circles the wagons quite like the Washington Redskins. Now, I used to do that for the Buffalo Bills, but pardon the interruption while I just make it work for me. Nobody circles the wagons quite like Bruce Allen and the Washington Redskins as they fight, claw, and scratch their way to a possible division title at 7-9, as they fight, claw, and scratch their way to protect and serve not only the Washington, D.C. community, but to avoid having me shave my hair live on the radio. I, for one, am thankful for Bruce and the boys for showing a little bit of vigor, a little bit of life, a little bit of chutzpah, a little bit of something-something down the stretch here. A 1-9 season could have easily been 1-11 if they would have played, well, probably Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. But don't worry, they'll get their opportunity this week at Lambeau Field. With that, we say good evening to my guy, Earl Forsey, who will be with us all throughout the night. Hello, Earl. How are you
tonight? This would be the Rooster Rally for the Redskins. The Redskins Rooster Rally.
I mean,
is on.
I am trying to will Bruce Allen into another magic carpet ride here, just like we've done in 2005, 2007, 2012, 2015, and maybe 2019.
JP just talked about it with Chad. It is the Undertaker gif, isn't it? Just when you think he's down, pops right back up again. But look,
they put the final nail in the coffin of Ron Rivera with the Carolina Panthers today, right? But the Redskins, somebody's got to come up with that gif, right, of Bruce Allen's head superimposed off the Undertaker rising off the canvas.
Now that you've said it, I guarantee someone.
If Richmond John, who is as creative as any human being alive on planet Earth, and who is like one of the best listeners, if not the best listener that we have, he is so creative as you know what, I guarantee you he can have that done by probably 8 o'clock, where I want to see Bruce's head superimposed over the Undertaker, laying sprawled out on the mat and just popping up into a sitting position.
Otherwise, you're going to be getting more of my Bruce the Barber Beefcake gifts coming your way.
I saw that. That was a good one.
You dodged that one.
I like that one.
Two things, and I brought this up yesterday. You retweeted, a lot of people did. This has always been a tough game for the Redskins in Green Bay. Mm-hmm. You have to go back to 1986 to find a win at Lambeau. Now, 2 years later, they won at Green
Bay. Milwaukee,
that's when they used
right?
to play games a couple of years in Milwaukee.
At County Stadium in
right.
Milwaukee.
And then if you go back before 86, you'd have to go back to Bruce's dad, George Allen's
Whoa.
Redskins, 1974.
Whoa. We're harkening
to find another
back
win.
To the history of my dad.
But Chad talked about it just a few minutes ago with JP, and I think it's a good topic, and I think it's an honest conversation to have that now that Chad basically posed a question, look, now that they won a couple of games, is this now saving, if Bruce is in trouble, is this maybe starting to save his role with the team? And JP said, if they go to Green Bay and win, you got to have that conversation.
Well,
right?
Yes.
And Chad said, absolutely.
Of
and
course.
He's right. If you go, and look, this is.
But you got to have the conversation
still
anyway.
End up as a non-playoff season.
Right.
It's going to be a losing season,
right.
whatever way it works out. But Bill Callahan, if they win this weekend, and maybe it's more about Bill Callahan than Bruce Allen, but if they were to win in Green Bay, Bill Callahan's 500 as Redskins head coach.
Absolutely.
After an 0-5 start. Something has sparked. Something's turned around with this team. I know he thinks, he talked about it yesterday, Callahan did, that, you know, finally 8 weeks later, maybe all those Wednesday bye week practices and all that stuff they're talking about, you know, in practice and trying to bring the practice to the playing field, maybe all that's starting to work. And guess what?
You know,
they
like
look a lot better.
You know, like hard work. Right. Instead of having DJs, no offense to DJ Jealousy, instead of having Club J out there boot scooting around, we actually have like a football team. And I've heard
a lot of young players all get run and no Josh Norman.
Yeah. Well, there's a million things we can talk about that have changed the context of this. I understand there are players that are I don't know, frustrated about how much work they've had to put in. Guess what? A, I don't care. That's your job. You have 5 months off a year. B, they weren't working hard enough against Jay Gruden.
Obviously
it was not preventing injury.
And even if you were working hard, Rooster, when you're 0-5, work harder.
Yes, exactly.
Get better.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, that's it. If you're not working hard enough, find a better way.
I mean, if I have a crappy segment on the radio, which I have plenty of, I come back and I try and do a better job.
Nobody cared if John Riggins didn't practice hard and, you know, walk through practice when he was gaining $1.64 and a couple of touchdowns on Sunday, right? But if you're not, then you better practice harder.
The Redskins are still alive, believe it or not. Has the two-game winning streak now, in your mind, changed the context of conversation for Bruce leaving, however it's done in the organization, whether it's a firing, whether it's a resignation, a mutually parting of the ways? Remember, they can be eliminated from the playoffs even without playing another game, because if the Cowboys beat the Chicago Bears on Thursday night in Chicago, then the Cowboys are going to eliminate the Redskins before the Redskins even take off for Lambeau Field. But it would still, I think, be semi-important for them to win another game. We'll talk about that all night long. We'll talk about it hopefully with you at 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067, along with my guy Earl Forsey. I'm Chris Russell. This is Overtime on the Fan. All right, good to have you with us on a what night is this? Tuesday night in the nation's capital and beyond. We'll lead you up to Cap San Jose Sharks hockey. 10:15 pregame. I'll have the Steam Fitters UA Local 602 extra pregame coming up for you just past 10 o'clock. Earl Forsey with us in studio. And we will open up the show talking Redskins. We'll get into the Nationals because there's lots of rumors there. The hot stove, Earl, really
started to percolate. This all. You, I think, lit the flame of the hot stove yesterday.
I don't know about that. Well, I mean, I would like somebody else. You know what I'm nervous about?
The Dodger site picked up on your report. Picked up on Lingbach talking your report.
The actual Dodger site?
It was one of the Dodgers.
I did see one like
I did see one of that.
See, that's
DodgerBlue.com or something like that. And then now, you know, and it's Bob Nightingale. Like
what I'm worried about is that none of the big guys have confirmed this, but I've triple and quadruple confirmed
He
met with the Dodgers.
Yes, they did. That's been double and triple stamped, Lloyd.
Because I heard other teams. I heard the Yankees. I reported that he met with the Dodgers last week and that he was scheduled to meet with two West Coast teams.
Multiple reports now saying, and Buster Olney is one of them. That's confirming Strasburg met with the Dodgers.
Oh, okay, good.
Strasburg, according to Ken Rosenthal, going to meet this week with the Yankees. And then you said he's got a couple of maybe other meetings with some other West Coast teams.
Two West Coast teams, at least.
Two of the biggest names in the free agent baseball market. I know we're doing Redskins. But two of the biggest names in the free agent market have played their entire careers in D.C. It sounds like the only teams they're not meeting with are the Nationals.
Yes. Yes. Now, Rizzo told Grant and Danny, or maybe it was the press conference afterwards. We've been meeting for 10 years. We don't need to meet.
He is now the executive of the year. Well-deserved. And his take is teams know how we do business. They've been here for years. They know, and I've talked to Scott. We'll see, because we know what happened last year with Bryce Harper, whether, you know, they wanted to actually keep him or not. In the end, they did get back to him with a less money offer.
Yes. So what I'm curious about is whether the Nationals have the same plan of attack this offseason as last. You just mentioned the Harper situation where they said, okay, this is our offer. You're going to reject it. We know you're going to reject it. Everybody knew he was going to reject it. And then we're going out and spending our money, and we'll get back to you if we decide to.
And then at some point, I mean, this is going to start heating up next week.
Right.
The owners' meetings
are
next
week. But are they going to do that? I don't know.
One thing you could see is the Nats signed X, and it's not Rendon or Strasburg.
Right.
Just making the preemptive strike, and then it's done.
Yeah, one name off that list, Mike Moustakas, but there's still plenty of other names on that list. All right, we'll get to the Nationals coming up later on. Obviously, the Redskins with this two-game winning streak. Earl, I know the answer to this already, but just for the satisfaction of our audience and for those that maybe didn't hear you on Sunday morning on Countdown to Kickoff from 8 a.m. to 11, which you can hear each and every Sunday, Redskins Sunday, before the Junks pregame show for a 1 o'clock game from 8 to 11. And because the Redskins have kind of been irrelevant TV-wise and all that, they've played all 1 o'clock games, if memory serves me correct, outside of the prime time.
Fine with me this year, Rooster. That 1 o'clock schedule works pretty well, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they've had the two primetime games, but all the other games have been 1 o'clock. The bottom line is this. They've now won two in a row. They've won two in a row against backup quarterbacks. One non-playoff team, one was a playoff, at least on the periphery contender. They put the final nail in Ron Rivera's coffin. One at home, one on the road. I think they're two pretty decent wins. I don't want to get crazy and say they were great wins, but my sense is, knowing you as I do, you're all aboard win as many games as you can, right?
Right. Absolutely. Because the bottom line in sports is winning. Professional sports is all about winning.
Even if it costs you.
Even if it costs you what?
Well, that's the question. It's right now it hasn't cost them a draft spot because somehow, by the grace of the football gods, they actually moved up. But, you can't expect that every week.
Because Miami won.
Right. And if it costs you another year of Bruce Allen.
Well, you can make that decision either way.
Of course you can.
And if it's to a point where something that happens at the end of the year, a couple of games, winning streak at the end of the year, helps him keep his job, then he wasn't going anywhere anyway. Right. If that decision has to pretty much be made at this point.
Well,
unless
I don't know. What if Dan is truly waffling? You know, the Garofolo report said that they were contemplating or evaluating.
Well,
right.
And do you think they're contemplating Bill Callahan coming back? What if he runs out? What if they run the table? Even if they don't make the playoffs and Callahan wins six in a row to end the year, you're going to say, okay, thanks, bye.
I think, well, I mean, didn't Cleveland essentially do that with Greg Williams? Not that they won six in a row to end the year, but they were really surging down the stretch last year, and they said goodbye.
And look what they ended up with. They got the guy they wanted, Freddie Kitchens, who may be out this year.
I understand that.
Be careful what you wish
for. No, I'm with you.
And I think you're seeing signs of progress, maybe some signs of growth in Dwayne Haskins, at least some stability there. It's not regressing.
Mm-hmm.
It may not be progressing like something, but the offensive line's kicked in. They're running the football. They've got the three-headed monster now at running back. We saw that was ground rooster. It was ground, you know,
It
was all full, like I said, full Callahan on that. And it doesn't matter. Win the games. I know you've been tweeting Baldinger, who's been touting running games and all that, and he had the list of the teams atop the running sets. Not always that way these days in the NFL, but this year, you know what? Look at what Seattle did to Kirk and the Vikings last night. They ran the ball down their throat.
Yep.
They almost lost that game, but the way they won that game was against a team that didn't give up a lot of rushing yards. They ran the ball for 200-plus.
But that's always been night. That's been their identity.
Right.
All throughout the Russell Wilson era.
But it's been a lot of Russell Wilson running the ball. Last night, it was the running backs.
I mean,
the Ravens, and all, you know, for all the great things they're doing, and Lamar Jackson, the run component of his game is the difference maker because of the kind of player he is and the kind of athlete that he is. So, whatever have you, the bottom line is winning. Bill Belichick, one year they're throwing 50 touchdown passes, and the next year, you know, Sony Michel's running, well, not anymore, but at the end of last year, or it's a clock-killing Corey Dillon or somebody. Like, it doesn't matter. Win the game. Josh McDaniel on the Football Life with Belichick was talking. I was watching it one night, and he was saying, you know, the great thing about working for Bill is he doesn't care if you win 14-13 or 44-43. Mm-hmm. It's only that you win. Whatever it takes. It's like the Avengers, the Marvel Avengers, whatever it takes. And winning now may be, quote, meaningless for some, but I think it's a good sign. Look, if Twitter would have been around when Joe Gibbs became head coach back in the 80s, when they started off, it looked like maybe it was going to be a quick hook on him. He went to the Squire's house over in Middleburg, and he thought he was going to be fired. And they started turning things around late that year, got on a winning streak, didn't make the playoffs, but you know what happened the next year? They went to the Super Bowl, beat Miami, and the rest is history.
All right, two things that we want to ask you at 800-636-1067. Is winning important? Just answer that. Is winning important considering everything? Is winning important? Two, the other thing I just thought of as you were kind of talking about Bill Callahan's future, most people want nothing to do with Bill Callahan.
Of course.
What has to happen for Bill Callahan to save his job? And is anybody in favor of Bill Callahan coming back as the official head coach as opposed to the interim head coach of the Redskins? 800-636-1067. Top of the hour flash coming from Earl, and then your phone calls on that right away on Overtime. Earl just mentioned it. Wizards and the Magic getting set from Capital One Arena. I'm trying to find it on our horrible TV setup here, and I'm striking out left and right, so I'm just going to have to go through it the next break because I could not find it in time. Oh, there it is. I found it. How about that? It was actually labeled correctly, and we didn't have Fox Financial News Network instead of a channel that we need in here. How about that? Nice. All right. Wizards. Magic. We'll keep you up to date. As Earl mentioned, Craig Heist will join us at the bottom of the hour for the update from there once his game gets going. So two questions on the table that Earl and I kind of kicked around in the first 20 minutes or so of the radio program. Is winning important? Is winning important right here, right now to the Washington Redskins, number one? And number two, Bill Callahan's future. I think it's tied to Bruce Allen. I don't think Bill Callahan's coming back if Bruce Allen's not here. But Earl brings up a good point. They could get eliminated from the playoffs Thursday night if the Cowboys win in Chicago. But what if somehow, some way, by the grace of the football gods, the Redskins go on a four-game streak here to end the year, which would make a six-game streak? Again, still not good enough, right? Still 7-9 for a third consecutive year. But when you're 1-9, and you finish with six straight wins, and again, it's a reach at this point. Four wins is hard to do. What do you do then? What would you do then, Earl? I mean, do you think Callahan is tied to Allen, or do you think if somehow, some way, this team won even 5 of 6 to end the year,
but you
that
have
Callahan
to consider
should
it,
be in consideration?
Rooster, that's Chad's point. If they went into Green Bay and won this weekend,
right,
you have to start thinking about it. Now, all these hashtag fire Bruce Allen, and we don't want any part of Bill Callahan because he's boring. And
right.
I don't care about that. If they're responding to him and they're getting better, which at least a couple of weeks, it doesn't matter who you're beating.
Mm-hmm.
You can't set the schedule. They've won a couple of games. And they won one at Carolina Sunday. They were a 10-point underdog. You can say, well, Carolina's not very good, but not a lot of people expected them to win that game.
No. And they won it the way they were supposed to win it after a dreadful start.
And for all these people who are now the new breed, the new blood, and it's fans, whatever, of football and of sports, and you want to be, you know, have everything on the table and all these options, to me it's very close-minded of you. If you sit there and say, it stinks. I don't want Bill Callahan, even if they win 7 in a row, 6 in a row. That's very close-minded.
Well, you know there are a lot of people.
You
mentioned him. There are a lot of people like that. Not because of his association with Bruce Allen.
Same people that think you're a dinosaur for even considering it. But you know what? If the team's responding and they're playing well and the core young players are starting to build something and winning ways and feel good and there's a chemistry there, of course you would. Same people, Rooster, that reach out on Twitter, all those Fire Davey hashtags early in the season that crawled into their, you know, crevices at the end of the year and never to be heard from since. Some of those people are the same people that reach out on Twitter on this thing. And even on the weekend, you know, getting mocked a little bit. Oh, Earl said today on the countdown to kickoff, they have a chance to win if things. Yeah, well, guess what?
They won.
They had a chance and they did it the way you have to do it, this team. It's not going to go out there and win games 42-20, but they need to play good defense, force some turnovers, some mistakes by the other team, and run the football. Lo and behold, they've won 2 in a row. So, to me, it's very close-minded and not very forward-thinking of those who would consider themselves the new breed and the forward thinkers of sports fans in D.C. if this thing continued that way and they won a bunch of games at the end, not to consider at least Bill Callahan to come back. Now, do I ultimately want that? Do I think that's the best decision? No. But do you have to put that on the table if you see results? Yes. Yes.
Looking forward right now, it's at least on the table. I don't know what kind of seat it's got at the table, but I think it's directly connected with Bruce Allen's future, which we still don't know at this point what's going on. 800-636-1067. Let's get to Josh in Upper Marlboro to begin things on the phones at 800-636-1067. Hey, Josh, how are you?
Hey, Rooster, I've decided, by the way, that you are the Howie Kendrick of 106.7.
Ah,
you always keep it in the clutch, man.
My man, thank
but,
you.
Hey, listen.
If I could hit a game-winning grand slam and in Game 5 of the NLDS in the 10th and then follow it up
you can fill in for whoever, whenever, and you do a great job.
Thank you.
Anyway,
I appreciate it.
I'm a card-carrying member of the Rooster Fan Club. And I respect Earl, too, but I'm sitting here in my car screaming because, like, this is the logic that sticks us in perpetual mediocrity, like just being just good enough. If you look at every successful rebuild, like, Earl, by your logic, Oakland wouldn't have done what they did last year and kind of blew up that team. Or Theo Epstein wouldn't have blown up the Cubs. Or, you know, you could go to Golden State and look what happened after they got Steph Curry and had to get those draft picks. You have to do dramatic things or else you're going to be a 7-9
team. Not in football. No, you
forever.
Don't have to do it.
And I
agree. I
don't care about winning right now.
I agree, but football is not that way. Football, you are a quarterback away from turning things around.
Look at Oakland. Oakland sent Khalil Mack away, and that was a huge deal. By your logic, they should have kept him and tried to win last year, but they didn't. They
tanked,
and
look what's happening. You see their game this weekend? You see what's happening there now for them? You see what's happening there?
But they're a lot better than they were.
Maybe not.
Than they were last year, right?
Do you see the anointed best team in the NFC, the San Francisco 49ers? They were 4-12 last year, right?
Again,
were there wholesale changes? No, their quarterback came back. Period. They're a good
defensive
team. It's
not just the quarterback. We got to get rid of Bruce Allen. Priority number one for 2020 is get rid of Bruce Allen. Number two is get rid of Bruce Allen. Number three is develop a quarterback. And if winning a few additional games
I don't care who's running the team, man. I don't care who's running the team.
Then we don't need to win games.
I care who's coaching the team, who's playing on the team.
I've been a 37-year Redskins fan, but we have to get out of this cycle of doing
I agree that. I agree with that. And I don't care who does it. That's my point.
Well, why wouldn't you – but if you agree with that sentiment, why wouldn't you care who's running the team? Earl.
Well, because it doesn't matter.
I think it does matter.
I mean,
Bruce has shown an inability to run a football organization.
He
runs out good GMs. He runs out good player personnel.
Okay, go find yourself and go. And I'm not sticking up for Bruce Allen, but I think we all get stuck on this guy's the GM. That guy's the analytics guy. He's the president. You know, growing up in this town, nobody knew who the GM of the Redskins was. Nobody knew who was running the team until Bobby Bethard started building the team. You know, it was Edward Bennett Williams. Nobody knew who the
harder.
Everybody
Bruce
now
Allen
is so
Jay
stuck
Gruden's
on who the owner is and who the GM. And the owner is not transparent, and he doesn't get out in front of the – who cares? I don't care about that.
But we can be very specific. Bruce
I care
Allen
about
made
the football
Jay
operations.
Job harder. Yeah, and exactly. And so Bruce Allen made the football operations more difficult. He made Jay's job harder. He was making decisions that a team president should not make. He's a poison there. And if we go on a little streak and somehow end up with 5 wins, that's going to be just enough to keep him around, and that's a disaster.
And if you
for
got good
town.
People in place, it shouldn't matter who's above you. Do your job. I've worked in toxic, poisonous situations before with people above me that don't know what they're doing, and I still do a great job. It's not an excuse.
But it does.
Not an excuse.
I'm not saying it's an excuse, but when you have so many pieces of the pie that have to fit together perfectly, like you're only caring about Earl Forsey. You're only controlling
Earl
Forsey.
It's the only thing
Earl
I do care about. I'm the
I
only
understand
one that,
that
does. Why not?
But Josh's point is a lot has to come together.
Maybe.
A lot has to come together for the jigsaw puzzle to fit together.
A lot had to come together for the Nationals to do it this year, too.
I understand.
You know what? They needed a Mike Rizzo. They couldn't have done that without Rizzo. And we have Bruce Allen and Mike Rizzo. Spot. That's a disaster.
That's a good point. Thank you, Josh. Appreciate it, bud. Thanks for the call and the good words.
I'm looking at some of the players. Look at Quentin Dunbar. Look at Fabian Moreau now.
But listen,
look at
the notion that Bruce hasn't done anything positive, I don't say
bust
that.
Bust of a miserable failure of a football player, perception-wise, in Ereck Flowers and made him one of the best players on the offensive
Understood.
Line.
I actually think...
Well, Redskins don't develop players. It's either the coaches... Well, they do. Quentin Dunbar was a wide receiver. He's a number one rated corner in the NFL. And Ereck Flowers is not only a viable guard, he may end up turning around being one of the best pieces of the offensive line.
I don't think
the
talent on this team is
Matt
as bad
Ioannidis
as... I don't think the talent on this team is as bad as everybody else thinks it is.
It's not.
They miserably underachieved.
Jonathan Allen, Deron Payne, Landon Collins, Quentin Dunbar, top corner in the NFL
They miserably underachieved,
Ruben
but I don't
Foster
think it's as
going
bad.
To play for this team next year.
I don't think it's as bad as people make it out. All right, let's take
Montez
a break.
Sweat
we'll get
to
back
well.
To your calls. Avery, Dominic, Danny, we will get to you and more. 800-636-1067. What has to happen for Bill Callahan to keep his job? What should happen? How would you look and evaluate that? And two, is winning important down the stretch here now that they've won two in a row? And everybody wants them to lose to get a better draft pick, and so that Bruce is out of here. Is winning important? 800-636-1067 with Earl Forsey. I'm Chris Russell, right here, Overtime on the Fan. All right, it is indeed Overtime with you on the Fan till 10:15. Caps San Jose Sharks. Do you know the way to San Jose, baby? The Caps found their way there. Looking forward to listening to John Walt and Ken Sabourin on the way home, and then watched a little Tuesday night late night hockey, out at the Shark Tank. All right, we're talking about the Redskins. What has to happen for Bill Callahan to save his job? I think he's directly tied to Bruce Allen. If Bruce Allen is back, I'm not saying it's a guarantee that that Bill Callahan is back, but I think the chances go from very, very, very small to a lot bigger. I don't know the percentage because it really depends on, I think, what happens over the final four games. But if Bruce Allen is back, and especially if they win, let's just call it 3 out of the last 4, and therefore 5 out of 6, I think there's a good chance that Bill Callahan comes back.
But do you think what happens over the last four should have an impact on that decision?
Because I think
there's a lot of fans who don't care.
Yeah, well, But I think a lot of fans are stupid.
Okay. Well,
I mean, quite honestly,
I
no
got
offense.
You back there.
I'm not saying all are, but
you know what I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah. I think
Callahan out of here. We need a young guy. First
of all, that's the problem.
Dial everybody, stuff on everybody, Madden plays
right.
And give a big pep talk.
Yeah,
and
that's the problem.
You know,
everybody thinks that it's A, easy to find Sean McVay, right? And it's not. One, two. All of a sudden, Sean McVay is not some miracle worker.
Right.
When you see, ultimately, it's about the Jimmy and Joes, not the X's and O's.
There you go.
Right.
Nice
so,
football cliche, but it's true.
So that's number one. I would say this, Earl. The reason why Callahan doesn't overall stand a great chance in my eyes is because A, I don't think they're winning four in a row or even three out of four to end the year. I think at best you could probably think 2-2. The other part of it is, again, because I believe he's tied at the hip with Bruce Allen, I believe Bruce Allen is finally done.
Okay.
I believe Bruce Allen's going to retire.
And I have no problem with that.
I could be totally wrong.
And it's probably the best thing
right.
for the franchise.
Absolutely.
But it was great when they finally cut bait with Vinny, and they got Bruce Allen 10 years ago.
Exactly.
So be careful.
It could
what
always
you wish
get
for.
Worse.
Yes, it can. I brought this up on Twitter, you know, Redskins, you know, and I always bring up, just when you think it can't get worse,
it
usually
did.
Does.
It did,
and
especially
it
with the Redskins.
Before you go back to the phones, if let's put it this way. When Callahan got the job after the 0-5 start, if you had to put a percentage of chance he had to have that job permanently when he got the job, what would that have been, and what's the percentage now?
Ooh, that's a good question. So when he took over for Miami.
Right. When
no
he took
wins,
over with no
0-5.
Wins, at that point, what were the realistic chances?
For next year, to keep the job as the official.
He's taken over as interim coach. What were his chances of having that job permanently, not knowing what was going to happen? I'd say
I would have said 1 or 2%.
Oh, really? I would say like 20% or
oh, really?
Something. Yeah, I would think so.
Why would you say that? Because he's been here
because he's
tied with Bruce or no?
I would just say because they are at 0-5, they still had a chance at that point in the season if they did something miraculous mm-hmm. and he was a miracle worker.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, 20% is not great.
Right, maybe I'm low. Maybe 5%.
Yeah, okay.
I don't know.
And
you
what
know.
Is it now? It's higher, right?
I mean, again,
okay.
because I firmly believe he's attached to the hip with Bruce, I can't go that high if I think Bruce ultimately is going to resign or retire or whatever. But I would say if it was, say, 5% then on October 8th, I'd probably say it's about 15-20% chance right now.
Okay.
Maybe somewhere in that neighborhood.
I would say about 20. I just a guess. I mean, it has been
right.
no basis in
right.
anything. I would
it's
have said about
20%.
Maybe I'm high back then. I think it's about 25 or 30 now. I
okay.
think it's a little higher, but not very good chance.
I think we should bounce. In addition to
10.
The other questions
yeah.
we're asking,
yeah.
I think people can comment on that. Let's go to Avery and Ashburn on the fan
Yay.
Who's been hanging on for a while. What's up, Avery?
Hi.
What's up, Avery?
I was just going to say that just because the Redskins have won three games doesn't mean, like, they're the best. Like, I would pick the Dolphins over the Redskins. They're so bad.
Well, wait a second. Let's work through this together, okay? They both won three games, or right? The Dolphins have won three games, Earl? Or have they won four?
Yeah, but
yeah.
I think they've won.
Like
yeah.
the Dolphins coach is better than the Redskins.
Why do you think that?
Because, I mean, like, the coaches are better. They've probably done more strategy. And they've only just won by 1 point when they were playing the Dolphins. The Dolphins were so close to winning.
Well, I agree. I think the Dolphins are probably a better football team overall than the Washington Redskins. What I don't think they have is better talent. The Redskins have much, much, much better talent than the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins have traded away some of their blue chip players to try and rebuild. Do I think the Dolphins have a better future long term? Yes. Do I think the Dolphins have better talent than the Washington Redskins right now? No.
Why would the Dolphins have a better long term future? Just because
they're
going to load up on draft picks?
Yeah, they have more draft
nothing.
Picks and more options.
That means nothing. You know that means
I know it
nothing.
Doesn't guarantee anything, but it does give you the opportunity to do something.
The team drafting last every year has won six Super Bowl rings.
I understand that.
So it means nothing.
I understand
means nothing.
That.
It can help, but it means nothing. And the Redskins are probably going to have a a very high draft pick, and maybe a couple of them, depending on what happens. Here's the other factor, Rooster. If Bruce Allen is finally out, if it does happen, by any means, retirement, whatever, nice parting gifts, version of the home game, I don't care what he gets. Does that open the door maybe for Trent Williams to come back?
And finally I asked that question to some people. I think Dan is really pissed at Trent.
Okay.
Really upset. I shouldn't say that. Really upset at Trent because of how he threw the organization under the bus. So I don't think so. Avery, what grade are you in?
Fifth?
Where do you go to school?
Yeah. Stuart Weller.
All right. And you live in Ashburn?
Yeah.
All right. So you're a big Redskins fan
Stay
or not really?
Never mind.
Kind of.
So why are you so into the Miami Dolphins?
I don't know.
It's good. You like the helmet.
I just think they're better than the Redskins, at least.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Avery. Hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Good calling, too. I'm glad you did. Look, I used to do that back in the day with...
Ken Beatrice, right?
No, it's way before Ken Beatrice. Phil Wood.
Oh!
On TLP back in the day. And Warner Wolf. Hey, what's going on? Warner was on. And...
If you have the Panthers minus the 10,
Come on. But I used to call all the time. And not all the time. The kids get through. So that's okay. That's fine. And I'll go before that. For folks who have been around this town a long time, Shelby Whitfield on WWDC.
God, you're old.
Used to do. I've been around a few years, but I don't show my age.
I'm just teasing you.
Still got the best hair at this radio station.
Let's get to Danny in
Centerville.
Best
ass, too, still, to this day.
Whoa. Hello. Talking about Earl Forsey's backside. Didn't expect that tonight. Yeah. What's up, Danny? How are you? On that note.
Hey, guys.
Young
whippersnappers. How are you doing tonight?
What's up, Danny?
So I guess my whole thing really starts off with, I guess I just have a problem with how, with the whole question in general, whether or not Bill Callahan, you know, what sort of percentage, you know, it would, you know, he has right now to come back or what it would take to get him to retain the job. I don't understand why Bill Callahan is even a possibility in the first place. He hasn't been a particularly successful coach on either the pro or the college level as a head coach. The fact that he's, you know, kind of willed us to these couple wins over the past couple weeks, to me, doesn't really speak much to anything that he's done other than the fact that he's been able to manage the talent that Chris keeps mentioning that we have. We are a talented football team. I don't think that's ever really been our problem. I think the problem is leadership, and it's always been leadership. It was leadership when it was Vinny Serrato in charge. It's been leadership since Bruce Allen's been in charge. And unless that power structure changes or is altered in a way that the people that are currently in charge of the football program now are no longer in charge of the football program, I don't see anybody coming in and being a coach, whether they be young, old, coming in and being successful. And certainly not successful enough to take us to any sort of a next level as a football franchise. So I just think that having Bill Callahan come back is a non-starter for a ton of reasons, but I certainly don't think that, you know, we should even be discussing, you know, what it would take for Bill Callahan to be our head coach moving forward. What do you guys think?
I think your sentiment is going to be more popular and along those lines. I disagree that you can't bring Bill Callahan back and have it make sense based on the fact that I'm more ideologically aligned with Bill Callahan anyway, so maybe that's coloring my opinion. I like the fact that the guy runs the ball. I like the fact that he's a little old school and that he's a little tougher on players. Yeah. I like the fact that we're not kissing the ass of every player
out
there.
I'd love to see a downfield offense. I want to see points. I don't throw the ball in Madden. I don't care.
The
running game is a product of the offensive line and the line of scrimmage. Yeah. Football is still a game based on land acquisition and attrition. And you win in the it's not a cliche. It's the way you win on the offensive line and defensive line. If you do that, everything else comes into place. You can run the ball, protect the quarterback, who then can throw. I mean, it's still a pretty simple game. Everybody wants to overcomplicate it. Mike Martz wants to come in with a 500-page playbook, and you know what? It's still about line it up, and the old bum Phillips, you take Yorn and beat Hizen. And he can take Hizen and beat, you know, the whole thing about Don Shula. He can take Hizen and beat Yorn. He can take Yorn and beat Hizen. Basically, it's still that kind of game. It's a game. It's a physical game. It's based on just size, strength, and speed. It's kind of an old-fashioned. There's no stealing signs. There's no can you hit a curveball. It's not about, you know, changing the rules and you know, a groundbreaking thing. It's still, in essence, and all this, the Sean McVay and all this stuff, you know what? They threw the ball a lot better when they were running the ball because, in the end, it's about throwing it when the defense thinks you're going to run it
right.
And run it when they think you're going to throw it, keeping them off balance. There it's not go. About one or the other.
All right, Earl's got the flash. Then we'll get right back to your calls. Hang in there, 800-636-1067. I see you, Willie, John, Mike. We're getting right to you on the Fan. All right, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. Let's get right back to the phones so we don't waste any time. We're going to talk Nationals in the 8 o'clock hour as well. Doug Russell from ESPN Milwaukee, WTMJ Packers Radio Network will join us in the 9 o'clock hour. And then, as Earl mentioned during the bottom of the hour flash, we'll have the Steamfitters UA Local 602 Caps pregame show in advance of the network pregame show right at 10 o'clock. So, and then we'll have Caps Hockey late night for you. Against San Jose. All right, let's get back to it on the phones. 800-636-1067. Let's go to Mike in D.C. on the Fan. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Hey, how you doing tonight?
What's up, Mike?
How you doing tonight?
Doing good. How are you?
All right. I think your guys are hitting it pretty good, and everybody's complaining about people, but, you know, you need all three of those guys working on the same page. You need owner, coach, and GM all working together. Like you had Gibbs, Beathard, and Cook, where Gibbs would come out and say, you know, we could take this all the way if you get me that player, and that player. And Beathard would go to Cook and say, hey, we're going to work a deal, and we're going to get a couple of those guys, and then we're going to make a run. But we haven't seen that in 20 or 30 years, have we?
No, because it's really hard to be on the same page with Bruce and Dan. But I would say this. And again, maybe it's because Callahan has been closely aligned with Bruce Allen in Oakland, and Bruce helped bring him here, and he came here leaving a good situation with the Cowboys for essentially the same position, and yes, granted, a raise. I wonder if Callahan is that guy. Huh?
Football is a business like any other
business.
No,
I get that.
If you don't have people working together in a business, you know it's going to close.
Well, right, but that's my point. Callahan might be the one guy that can be on the same page as those two guys.
But it is a business, but unlike a lot of businesses, like, you know, Jerry Jones was talking about it in some of his comments.
I had one more question. I'll get off.
Hey, Mike, can you hang on a second, Mike? Can you let somebody talk? Hang on.
If the only thing with the business of football is you don't have to win on the field to have a successful year, because you're getting a 1/32nd of the whatever it is, $8 billion.
Well, the Redskins have largely stunk.
That's where, and there's some of the business hit is taken when you're not selling tickets and the public perception of, you know, the angst and the empty stadiums and everything, but it's a minute amount of the overall money that's being taken in. Whether you win 16 games or you lose 16 games, those teams are getting an equal check from the league the first of every year from TV. So that's where part of the business is different. Okay.
How much does it take to shut it off? I thought if you had a certain amount of people that did not show up, you'd get shut off.
What do you mean shut off from the league?
What, Pepco gonna shut you down?
Isn't it when you don't have a certain amount of people buying tickets, you no longer get broadcast?
No.
Not.
It has nothing to do with it.
No.
They lifted the blackout rules and everything. Well, here's the one thing that I would say about the Redskins business. I mean, we all know the attendance figures and all that. We all know the television ratings.
And they do matter, but they don't matter as much as people want. But unless the owner finally at some point says, that's just a terrible look. Right. I'm looking awful. Yes. I can't, you know, I'm embarrassed. You know, this is reflecting bad on me. This owner doesn't seem to feel that way.
What I would say is when Bruce Allen took over, they were a net worth, according to Forbes, of $1.55 billion. They're now $3.3 billion. How much of that is Bruce? I think very little, but I can't say that he's not done anything to improve the organization and the franchise. They did get a practice facility in Richmond. They did do major stadium renovations. They did get major renovations to Redskins Park. They did build a practice facility. All of that, right? And obviously, they have won two NFC East titles under his 10-year reign, all of that. But the one thing that I would say is, if they're worth $3.3 billion with the circus that the organization has largely been and the frustrating failures that the organization has largely been, what would they be worth if they were just even run remotely close to how the Cowboys have been run?
Unknown. And that's the thing in Dallas. What are they worth? $5 billion, $4
something? Yeah, I think something? It's like, five, like high fours.
Are we going to argue over $1 billion? When
no,
you,
but
when
I mean,
buy
that
the
is
stadium
it.
And the team for what? $800,000 when he bought
right.
it.
Right. $800 million.
$800 million.
Right.
And over 20 years, yeah. He's quadrupled that plus.
Absolutely. But you know how
with
these
all
people
the failures.
Operate. Right. But you know how these people operate. It, just because they're worth $3.3 billion doesn't mean that they don't want $4 billion.
I understand, but it's also soothing the wounds, the fact that he's got a $4.3 billion team, whatever it is.
Understood.
$3.4 billion team. It's look, the only issues that could be there at some point is if the league in general were to get involved and say, look, this is, as a signature franchise and a foundation franchise, we can't have this. League has stepped in before. It's not the current days of the NFL. The league stepped in way back, late 70s, the 80s, with the New York Giants. And that's how George Young became the general manager of the New York Giants and ended up, you know, helping build the great teams they had the 80s and 90s because the league gave them, like, believe it or not, what you will, and no one ever said it, but how do you think all those NFL executives, Brian LaFemina and company, ended up with the Redskins? Mm-hmm. By accident? You think that was just totally? Of course
no.
not. It was.
No, I would tell you.
The league was trying to do the Redskins a little bit of a solid by kind of pushing in that direction, kind of encouraging maybe these people could help. In the end, though, the NFL itself, it does not exist. People say, well, the league should step in. The league is the 32 owners.
Right.
Okay? It's not Roger Goodell. It wasn't Pete Rozelle. There's no NCAA per se. There's no NFL per se. It's a conglomeration of the, in this case, the 32 NFL owners. And you know what? And I brought this up, Rooster, a couple of weeks ago during Countdown to Kickoff, Lou Holtz had a great saying, had a lot of great sayings. One of Lou Holtz's sayings, and I have to do it as Lou Holtz, because he used to say, don't tell people your problems because 20% don't care and the other 80% are glad you have them. Right? So the Redskins' problems, I don't think the people in the league care too much about it because there's either no sympathy or there's a lot of teams thinking, good, I don't like that guy. I don't like that team anyway. That's never going to happen as far as the league doing something like people want. To lift this franchise out of its quagmire.
I'll somewhat counter that in just a couple of moments on The Fan. Let's get to a couple of these calls before the top of the hour. Probably mix it up, talk a little Nationals and other stuff in the 8 o'clock hour just to kind of bend the conversation a little bit, and then we'll get back into the Redskins in the 9 o'clock hour. Let's go to John and Bethesda on The Fan. John, how are you?
Hey, I'm sorry. Rooster, how
yes.
are you doing, buddy?
Hey, John, how are you?
So sorry. I'm okay. Been better. So to the point, you know, I grew up as a kid. I was a rabid Redskins fan. Then the Snyder era came, and I'm still an avid Redskins fan. And more lately, a family member with health crisis. So I haven't been able to keep up like I wanted to, but I've made time to see the games. And I'm watching the game this Sunday, and this guy, this wrecking ball, number 54 Orchard, all over the place.
Yep.
I'm checking my program. Who is this guy, and Where did he come from?
And they just signed him. Just signed him last week. I mean, off the streets, he's bounced around to
during the game. But I mean, this is the most disruptive linebacker I've seen since LeVar, and that includes Ryan Kerrigan. As much as I love the guy, I've never seen Ryan Kerrigan take over a game the way this guy was.
Well, what he doesn't have, and I mean, you know, we've all talked about Ryan Kerrigan. What Ryan Kerrigan never will have is that pure natural speed and athleticism that Nate Orchard has. Ryan Kerrigan has the strength and the savvy to get to the quarterback. He's not great in coverage. He never will be. He's not great against the run. He never will be. Nate Orchard was out of the league for a reason, though, right? He's been let go by multiple teams: Cleveland, Buffalo, Miami. I think that's the whole list. I think that's the whole list. But
In addition to the Bills and Cleveland, he was one of those hard knock stars.
Yep. But
he was a second round pick.
The one thing that he has, and this is what I loved about him coming out of Utah State, was he has that athleticism and that burst that you need to turn the corner and the edge and to get to the quarterback. And not only was he able to do that, and yes, he only had the one sack, but he had a couple of other pressures, and he was chasing and hunting the Carolina quarterback. But then he had that big run stop on the goal line or at the 2-yard line late in that game.
Yep.
So, you know, he showed an ability to knife in a tight spot. So now, listen, should you expect that every week? No, but maybe the Redskins got lightning in a bottle here. Maybe they found
a guy who has some athleticism who is hungry to play. You know, and it was funny. Bill Callahan was talking last week.
Hang on, John. Hang on.
I guess callers can't hear me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No, they can hear you.
I'll have to talk louder, which I can do. Bill Callahan was saying last week, you know, Kerrigan, when he was talking about Kerrigan being out, you know, and he's sitting there, well, it'd be nice to see some guys. Guy like Nate Orchard, we just signed. I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, right.
Right.
And here legend of Nate Orchard is what I tweeted out at one point on Sunday, because you're right. I mean, That's a nice find. It's again like Eric Flowers, who's just in a situation that he's happy with. Everybody wants to talk about toxic culture and, you know, it's such a bad place. Well, there's another guy that's got some talent, just had to be put in the right spot and have it developed a little bit. We'll see. But like I brought up, the Redskins, whoever the coaches have been and whoever's drafting players the last few years, they have actually developed some talent.
They have.
And kind of made something out of nothing.
That's why
some
I don't
guys.
Think the talent level on the team is as bad as people think. Now, they're far from a good team. That's the reality. John, you mentioned you haven't been able to watch them, right? You would, but you did, obviously, on Sunday. You realize that they have some pieces and that there's some potential there.
Absolutely.
But for whatever reason, it wasn't clicking, and largely it wasn't clicking because I think the head coach was tapped out.
Who's got more talent in the league than the Cleveland Browns in their roster,
that's
right?
True.
That's a bad team.
Right. That's
so
true.
Talent doesn't make a good team. Not in football.
Since you mentioned the coaching, I got one question for you. I've never been an anti-Gruden guy until he sat Portis week one, and
Adrian Peterson.
The only thing I can think of is he wanted to get fired.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson, not Portis. But your point served. Yeah, no, listen, I think what happened was Jay wanted Adrian Peterson cut because he didn't want anything in the way of Darius Geis. And he had a plan all along that he was not going to play both. He had made up his mind. He didn't have use for both. He wanted them cut. They wouldn't allow him to cut them. So he said, I'll show you. I'm not going to play him on game day. And that's exactly what happened. John, I heard you say something about a family member. I hope everything's okay. Thanks for the call, though, okay?
Thanks. Keep up the great work.
All right. Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. All right, so Earl, let's take a break here at the top of the hour.
Yeah, boy, was he wrong about that, huh? Adrian Peterson, Darius Geis, no room for both of them. Well, wrong.
Jay's been wrong on
that. Was the end of
things
with this team. I mean, just go back to that game where he lost. You could talk about a lose the team moment.
I agree.
That was the Jay Gruden lose the team moment. Right.
I agree. Even though they played a really good first half, when they got tested in the second half, they had no counterpunch. They had nothing to.
Yeah.
Kind of swell the tide, if you will. All right, we'll get back to more of your calls in the 8 o'clock hour, and we'll get to some Nats talk, some hot stove, baby. It's a percolating on the fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.